Red Business with Jonathan Healy.
Hi there, thanks very much for joining us. Coming up on this episode, we're heading to North Cork to the most beautifully renovated farmhouse that is available now for you to stay in. And we're also going to talk about auto-enrollment, because if you've been dodging that particular bullet for the last few years, bad news, it's on the way. But we're going to begin with one of Cork's best known food catering companies, Elite Cuisine. They have been celebrating 20 years in business. They provide food and dining options to the corporate sector and people's homes, but they've also grown a lot in the last while, expanding and learning to pivot during tough times. And indeed, going out to retail. Burr O'Donovan is event coordinator and one of the directors of Elite Cuisine. She's with me now. Burr, how are you keeping?
I'm great, Jonathan. Thank you very much for having us. And thank you for that fabulous introduction. Well, much appreciated.
Well, I'm not just saying it because you're here, because we have loads of Elite Cuisine products that come into our house that we get from a certain supermarket. And they really are gorgeous. Can I talk about that first of all? Because obviously event catering was your thing, but then you pivoted a little bit into retail. Was that a COVID response?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, obviously, like every other business in Cork, hospitality wise, we fell off a cliff and we had to pivot, and adapt to the situation we were in. And we were doing a small few shops locally with a few things like pickles, relishes and pestos, etc. But when we saw shops and chemists were the only things open, well, we decided to massively expand that product base and expand the market that we entered into. So we did approach a lot of supermarkets all over Munster who embraced us so well and so kindly. And it's a new arm to the business now that we have, along with everything that came back, the corporate and private dining as normal.
Yeah, and I suppose like that side of the business is back up and running now, because people want good food. And you know, if they're trying to cater for a crowd and they don't do it themselves, they need someone like you.
Well, you see, that's the thing. And that's how we started out, because we wanted to bring restaurant quality food to people in their homes. You know, back in the day, as you know yourself, I think we're a similar age group. You didn't eat at home and you certainly didn't drink at home. Whereas people now are tending to do a lot more entertainment at home. It's more comfortable. There's no taxis. There's a bit more enjoyment, but they have to have good food. Back then, the food wasn't good. So myself and Ian, my business partner, who is the head chef at the business, decided when we met up in a popular Cork restaurant where we worked together to bring good restaurant quality food to the home with high standards, good service, a varied menu. And it's just grown and grown, and it has been word of mouth. So it's been people enjoying what we've done. And
there's nothing worse than a soggy lasagna when you're going out. and you guys don't do soggy. We know that. What's the link to Cork Con?
So basically, when we first started out, we needed a kitchen. And without putting a huge, massive capital outlay out there to start, because we wanted to test the water, see where it was going, we were dabbling. We approached people who had kitchens but weren't using them, and club like Cork Con, rugby club, is a typical example of a kitchen sitting idle for most of the year and then most of the week. So they were looking for a new income stream, and we married up with that. And basically we used it as our base for about 6 years and looked after all their catering, and we fed all the teams as they came through and visitors and the home games, etc. So it was a nice arrangement we had between us, until eventually we did outgrow and we had to find our own spot, you know?
Yeah. You have gone out to your bigger kitchen now, but you went back to Cork Con for the party, did you?
So we celebrated our 20 years by going back to Cork Con, because as a venue and also because of our strong relationship with them, we went back to celebrate it up there. They have a fine big hall, plenty of parking. We still have a strong relationship with the gentlemen that were on the committees in our day, and some of them who've moved on. E.g. Peter Manny's father, John, was the MC for us on the night, because I worked closely with him when we were doing the Cork Con lunches. Charlie Murphy, who owns the garage on Church Road here in Black Rock.
The man who gave me my first job, Charlie Murphy.
Oh, brilliant. He only spoke about that because he was president. He's president now this year, and he made a speech on the night for us. And as I say, we've got a good relationship with them. So it seemed the ideal venue and very fitting, you know, the fact that we started there.
Yeah, 20 years is an incredible record in a very, very competitive sector. And resilience had to become a byword in those two decades, because you've had recession in there, you have had COVID in there, you've had a shutdown.
Yeah.
Now you've got increasing costs. I mean, you've had to become pretty resilient, I'm guessing, Burr.
You do. And there's no two ways about it. You literally have to face up to every challenge that comes head on. Persevere. I mean, I think perseverance is one of our very strong traits, both myself and Jean. So for everything I say, I speak on behalf of both of us. You have to adapt. You have to grow. You have to. We're very lucky. We have a good, strong team behind us. But, you know, the main thing then, I think, as well, is if you're in hard times, as you're in there doing it, you know, you've got Ian's in the kitchen every day, apron on, and I'm here in the office every day on the phone to clients. And it's about facing the challenges and working through them. And that's the advice I would give to anybody starting up in business. Have to be resilient and you have to persevere.
Yeah, well, it is brilliant to see how well you've done. Elitecuisine.ie is the website, and you can find some of the finest things. Oh, they're like the pesto's really, really good. I can tell you that much for nothing. I mean, and the pickled cucumbers, the chutneys, it's all good stuff. And you'll find them in the fridges of your local supermarket as well. Burr O'Donovan, continue to success to yourself and Ian and Elite Cuisine. And thanks for joining us.
Much appreciated. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Barnahown is a newly renovated guest house that's brimming with luxurious treats for outdoorsy guests, from boot warmers to outdoor showers to a hot tub to an honesty bar stocked with drinks from Ireland's top drinks providers. After 20 years in the corporate world, its owner, Ciara O'Brien, has transformed both her career and the mid-1800s seven-bedroom farmhouse, where she aims to keep visitors delighted and enjoying the hidden gems of Mitchelstown and the surrounding areas. Ciara, you're very welcome. First of all, I have to ask you, what were you doing prior to this?
Hi, Jonathan. So something very different. I was working in a corporate career for about 20 years. I spent quite a long time actually with Pepsi up in Little Island in Cork. And most recently, actually, I was with Google up in Dublin. So very different.
Yeah, so this is a hell of a pivot, right? So when did you first see this property and what appealed to you about it?
So I'd probably been looking for a place for about 5 or 6 years. I kind of had this niggling idea. And this was maybe my third attempt, I'd say, at finding a place. And I remember this house from when I was a child. You know, it was a beautiful ivy-covered house just at the edge of Mitchelstown. And when I heard on the grapevine that it was going up for sale, I thought, this has to be the one, you know. It has beautiful original features and it's really convenient to the town with views of the Galtee Mountains. So it was perfect for what I was looking for.
Yeah, but it wasn't exactly in guesthouse readiness, was it? I mean, you've had to do a lot of work on it.
Yeah, absolutely. It was actually had been vacant for a number of years and it had a lot of flowery curtains and carpets. So yeah, we just decided to go for it and completely gutted the place, kept the bones, but put in things like underfloor heating and heat pumps and some nice new triple glazed windows. So yeah, trying to bring all the creature comforts, I suppose, and to get it up to being an A-rated house while still then trying to retain kind of the magic of the history of the property.
Now, you're young, right? You mightn't remember the film The Money Pit by Tom Hanks, but he kind of had a similar idea of investing in an old house and it just kept costing more and more and more and more. And he eventually went a small bit mad. Did you have a Tom Hanks experience?
Some days, I suppose. We tried our best to keep to the budget, but like that means then you have to trade off. You know, I had very big plans for landscaping outside and, you know, they've had to be delayed a little bit now because we had to invest more inside. So, yeah, it is a lot of decisions and you have to be very disciplined about trading off. I suppose that was the benefit of having the corporate experience. You know, I had done things like building factories and things with Pepsi. So you had to practice that, you know, keeping within your budget.
Yeah, well, at least that stood you, if nothing else. Now, the property itself is kind of historic. There's a famine workhouse nearby that was built around the same time, wasn't there?
Yeah, Mitchelstown actually is a really interesting town. It has a lot of Georgian heritage. We would have had the Kingston family here. And so this house would be considered a Kingston farmhouse built by them for one of their farmers. And literally the next field over then, you can see the famine workhouse. I suppose, you know, in the mid-1800s, when people were really on their last legs, that was their last resort. So it's, you know, important as we're living here in the lap of luxury now. You know, it's a good reminder for us all of the hardship people have had and what we should be grateful for.
Hospitality, though, is very different in the 21st century to what it would have been in the 19th century. Did you get much experience before you made the jump?
I did, I suppose, two things really. I had travelled a lot for work, so I knew what I liked and what I didn't like and what I was looking for. The other part of it, I suppose, I was really lucky to have the opportunity to participate in At Your Service with the Brennan brothers.
Oh, well, she came in, no better boys to set the standard.
Yeah, they were really good to me and helped me to go on work experience to kind of similar type of businesses, nice B&Bs and Airbnbs and things, just to learn from people and do some hands-on practical work, because you can theorize about what a thing is like, but the best thing to do is just go and do it and figure it out.
Yeah, and you've had your first paying customers through the door. I think you opened, what was it, July the 12th? So, I mean, what has the feedback been so far? I mean, they'll say nice things to your face, of course.
Yeah, do you know what? I think people are pleasantly surprised. Mitchelstown is a very beautiful place, but it's probably not, you know, top tourist destination. So people are pleasantly surprised when they come in, and I think really interested in the story of the house. And then when they see the Galtee Mountains out the back, you know, not everybody is coming for hiking. So I think some people kind of feel inspired when they can see, you know, the full range in front of them. I think it inspires them to get out and do something that is, you know, appropriate to their ability. So, yeah, I mean, it's hectic. It's been just over about 10, 12 days now of service. But yeah, it's really rewarding, I suppose, to get the positive feedback and see how pleasantly surprised people are.
You describe it on the website as low impact luxury. Now, to the uninitiated, what does that mean?
I suppose sustainability is very important to me. Most of the companies that I worked with, you know, making as little impact on the environment as you could was really important. And what I'm trying to say to people is sometimes we associate luxury travel with going to the Maldives or going to the Caribbean, whereas actually I think luxury can be staying in a, you know, a beautiful property that's been really carefully restored. It is eating really locally produced food that's fresh, you know, that arrived in today. It's speaking with a local person, whether that's to go hiking or to go chocolate making or visiting the honey farm here. Like, all of those things are very personal and luxurious, and it doesn't have to involve flying somewhere or staying in a 5-star hotel. So it's trying to kind of reinterpret, I suppose, you know, what it is we think of when we think about luxury.
Well, I have to say the website looks absolutely fabulous, and people can go and look at it now. It's barnahown.com. The property looks absolutely stunning. It really, really does. And Ciara, we wish you the very best of luck with it.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. We hope to see you here soon.
Now, auto-enrollment, the auto-enrollment retirement saving system, has been talked about seemingly forever. What it means is that if you're an employee between the ages of 23 and 60, if you earn more than 20 grand a year from all of your jobs and you're not already in a qualifying pension scheme, you're going to need to be enrolled in a new one. Now, on the 3rd of July, the Auto-Enrollment Act was passed by the Oireachtas. It's now been signed into law. What does it mean? Still, a lot of people are in the dark. John Kearney is a man not in the dark, though very much in the light, director at the financial planning firm Provest. John, how are you keeping there? It is something that people have been kind of willfully ignoring, but they can't ignore it for much longer.
It is indeed, Jonathan. And I suppose by way of background, auto-enrollment has been an agenda item for successive governments since 2006, when the then Minister Seamus Brennan committed the state to such a scheme. So it has been talked about, you are correct, for a considerable period of time. And I guess the government's aim, Jonathan, is to substantially increase the number of employees who are currently saving for their retirement. It's estimated that auto-enrollment will help approximately 800,000 employees who currently do not have a pension to save for their retirement. And I guess this will ensure these employees are better financially prepared for life after work and not solely reliant on the state pension. So that's just by way of background.
So who needs to do what now?
So as you quite correctly pointed out, workers aged between 23 and 60 who earn in excess of 20,000 euro per annum for all employments and who are not already participating in a qualifying pension scheme, such as, you know, an occupational pension plan or a PRSA, they will be automatically enrolled in the auto-enrollment scheme during 2025. Now, the key features of the scheme, Jonathan, it's very similar to the old SSAA model, with the employee making a contribution matched by the employer, and topped up by the state. So in years 1 to 3, the employer and employee contributions will start at 1.5% of gross earnings. And those rates then will increase, Jonathan, on a phased basis over a 10-year period to 6%. So after year 10, the employee will be contributing 6%, the employer will be contributing 6%,
Okay.
and the state will make a contribution at the rate of 1 euro for every 3 euro saved by the worker.
Now, both the employee and the employer will probably say, well, the reason that we don't have a company pension scheme is that we can't afford it. And a lot of people, you know, perhaps in lower paid jobs, that is a consideration. Is this going to cost both of those parties money effectively?
You are correct, Jonathan, in that the employee essentially is on the hook for 1.5% of their gross earnings, and that will come out of their net pay essentially. In the case of the employer, in recent times, many employers have expressed concerns about the cost burden which auto-enrollment will place on them, particularly at a time when they're facing, additional labour costs, increased PRSI rates, statutory pay, etc. So there's no doubt that, adhering to the auto-enrollment requirements will lead to additional costs for both the employee and the employer. And in the case of the employer, Jonathan, I'd expect them to incur, additional costs such as implementation costs and potentially increased legal and payroll costs.
So, in other words, this is going to cost money, but people are being left with no choice in this. So, what do they need to do right now if they haven't started the planning process already, John?
Well, from an employer perspective, it's imperative that each employer considers their pension plan strategy in the context of their own workforce, Jonathan. And we're recommending that they perform a business and workforce impact analysis. Those employers who already provide an existing pension plan to their employees, they'll need to determine if their existing pension arrangement should be used, for example, to enroll employees as an alternative to the auto-enrollment system. Some employers who may have, smaller workforces or whose employees are on lower incomes, they may actually find the auto-enrollment system a more suitable option. And then finally, Jonathan, you'll have a cohort of employers from our perspective where, a hybrid approach of operating both schemes may make sense. So I guess the message really is that it's imperative that employers engage with their advisors in relation to this matter, not only from engage with their advisors in relation to this matter and in the context of
Okay.
budgeting,
Yeah, but hold on. You're
sorry.
missing out one. You're
I just
missing out one very important cohort. The ostrich, the fella who's got his head in the sand, ignoring it completely. Is he going to get in trouble?
Well, for those employers who put their head in the sand, they may incur fines or indeed imprisonment on conviction, depending on the severity and nature of the breaches. So as I would see it, employers have no choice but to embrace auto-enrollment, Jonathan.
Okay, well, advice is solid as always from Provest. Provest.ie is the website if you want to have a look at where John is working. John Carney, Director of Financial Planning at Provest. Thanks so much for talking to us, John.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.
And that's it for this episode of Red Business. Thank you so much for listening. Marita Kelly was the producer. Don't forget, Red Business in Focus, our video series with thanks to Cork's local enterprise offices, is available right now on redfm.ie. We'll catch you on the next one.
Get the Red Business Podcast every week with Jonathan Healy at redfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts.